The chancellor of the California State University System announced this week that he plans to cancel in-person learning this fall. But the fear among small liberal arts colleges across the country is that they may have to cancel classes forever. Because of financial difficulties made worse by COVID-19, McMurray College in Jacksonville, Illinois, is closing its doors for the last time this month after 174 years of existence. Beverly Rogers is the president of McMurray College, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, and why did you make the decision to close, and how did the coronavirus pandemic factor into that decision?
McMurray College had been in difficult financial condition for some time. This would have been our third deficit year, and we tried to work with area agencies. We called on our alumni for additional funding. And it just became really clear that even though we had created a new curricular plan, we were not able to raise the money that we needed to transition, and there was no other choice. We were working with a developer for a particular lease buyback purchase of our dorms, and then they would come back into college ownership. And as we were about to close the deal, the virus hit and the banks tightened up on money and we were unable to get the funding. So it was kind of the last straw.
Without the pandemic, how much longer do you think you would have been able to stay open?
If we had gotten the deal, I think we could have made it at least through another year. But I'm not sure that I want to blame that on the pandemic. As you know, small colleges across the nation are facing very difficult times, even before the virus. So I don't want anyone to misinterpret that this was all caused by the virus.
What happens now to the students at McMurray?
When you're a member of an accrediting organization like the Higher Learning Commission, they have very, very strict rules for how you go about closing. And one of them is that you reach memorandum of understandings with other colleges and universities. So we reached out to, originally it was 7, and I think now we have about 11 that we have formal agreements with that they will take our students, even those that have less than 30 hours to complete. And most of our students have been placed by now. Our coaches were a Division III of NCAA, and our coaches have worked really well with many schools to find spots on teams for our athletes. And we have a pretty good placement record so far.
What about your faculty?
Different story. McMurray College doesn't control what openings are available at other schools. But when we made the arrangements with the colleges, we also sent our faculty biography pages and asked them to keep our faculty in mind for open positions. And we do know that several of our faculty have found positions, and we'll do anything that we can to help them do that. But that's just really all we can do, look at the open positions.
How does it feel to you to be the president now who has to make this difficult decision to close McMurray College, which has been in existence for more than 150 years?
Well, to begin with, it wasn't my decision. It was the Board of Trustees. But I certainly concurred. It's distasteful. It's incredibly disappointing to me. I certainly did not want to be the last president of this long and historic institution. I've never failed at a job before, and I would like to say that I didn't fail at this one, but I failed to pull it out. That's what I failed to do. And it doesn't sit well with me. I don't like to feel the responsibility for all of these decisions and disposing of properties, et cetera. It's very emotional and it's very draining. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I didn't have enough time and there was not enough funding for me to actually make good on the new plan that we developed. And it's very, very, very difficult.
Do you have any advice for other small liberal arts colleges around the country that are facing a similar situation right now?
Don't procrastinate would be my the basis of nearly everything that I would say. Higher education is not nimble. We are steeped in tradition, and we are not always able to move as quickly as we need to. This goes for all higher education. We are disconnected so often from the world of work, and what we're also disconnected from how students today learn. It's very different, the immediacy to information than the access. We have to be much more nimble in our responses. I think it calls for a new business model. The current discount rate for small private colleges, well, private colleges across the U.S., is 52.6%. That's not doable. Only about half or a third of the cost of each student's attendance at a school is covered by tuition. The rest is grants, fundraising, etc. There needs to be a remake of higher education as a business model, in my opinion.
That is Beverly Rogers, who is president of McMurray College in Jacksonville, Illinois, which is closing this year because of financial difficulties. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
So could what happened to McMurray happen to other small liberal arts schools? Scott Carlson is senior writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Hi, Scott.
Hi, nice to be on here.
Well, it's great to have you. And McMurray said their closure was because of a combination of declining enrollments, rising competitive costs, and an insufficient endowment. But with the challenges because of coronavirus, do you think more small liberal arts schools will end up in the same situation?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're going to see more closures like the one at McMurray. I think what's happening right now in the college space is that these small colleges have been pressured by higher costs of operation and increasing competition coming from, you know, largely bigger institutions and institutions that have more resources. Many of these small private colleges are located in small towns or far from cities, and that's sort of a part of the design from when they were founded. But in the modern era, that's a real disadvantage because they're far from these kinds of places where students want to be for work. And so students generally have been choosing bigger colleges, better endowed colleges over the past several years. It's leaving these small colleges in a tough position, trying to attract a dwindling number of students in a high-cost environment. And that spells disaster, I think, for the fall, particularly if these students can't come back to a campus because of COVID-19.
Now, if all schools are going to be dealing with some level of financial difficulty because of COVID-19, it could be that a state school, like, let's say, Penn State or the University of Texas, could say, well, we're in trouble, but the state might be there to back us up in a really hard time. Do you think it's possible that any of these private colleges would try to make the case to the state that they're in and say, can you help us stay afloat in this crisis?
There are a number of colleges, small private colleges, that are trying that now. And each one of the states generally has a lobbying arm for the small colleges within that state. So there's one in Iowa, there's one in Minnesota, there's one in Maryland. And they do go to the states and say, hey, can you give us some money to help us? The thing is that's not going to carry these small private colleges through the course of the year. It doesn't really float the boat. So these small private colleges are very, very dependent on tuition. Not only are they very dependent on tuition, they're also very dependent on room and board. So as a small college president put it to me this morning, actually, when I was calling to ask about the financial state of some of these places, you know, we make money on the residence halls. We about break even on dining, and we lose money on everything else. So a number of these small private colleges have been discounting the tuition, that is the sticker price of what the education costs, and they're making up some of that in the room and board costs. Now, the public institutions are, yes, they do have the states backing them, But a number of public institutions are going to be in trouble as well, maybe further down the line, because you can imagine that with the kind of economic devastation that we're seeing, the states are going to cut back on the kind of funding that they're offering. And already in certain states, among the regional colleges, so for example, in Pennsylvania, we wouldn't be talking about Penn State. We'd be talking about places like Mansfield University and some of the other smaller public colleges. Those places have, you know, over the past several years been in trouble because, much like the small private colleges, they are getting outcompeted by the bigger institutions in their states. And so here they are located in these small towns. Well, now today in, you know, Northfield, Minnesota, in Decorah, Iowa, in Worcester, Ohio, these small colleges are sort of the last economic engines of these places. So if the students don't show up, the colleges are in trouble, and then by extension, the small towns themselves are in trouble.
That is Scott Carlson, who's a senior writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.